Yeah, I think we've, you know, we've played pretty close to 60 minutes, and that was probably our best effort, 60 minutes, good goaltending. We had 30 shots in the first half. That's kind of where we want to be, and we need to shoot. One of our goals this week was shooting a little more, and I thought we shot the ball pretty well. And, you know, right now we're basically at halftime because we're right back there tomorrow, but pretty excited, pretty proud of the group today, and I thought everybody kind of stepped up.
We're flying high with the Wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Every time.
Home games for the Wings, we are live from the press box at the Wells Fargo Center. What's going on, everybody? It's Outside the Box right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. Kyle Bennett, Brooke on Broad, a.k.a. Brooke Destra, and Alex on 11th, a.k.a. Alex McIntyre.
Finally.
Behind the mic and behind the camera today, doing her thing. What's up, guys?
How are we feeling, everybody?
I mean, every time after a win, I'm feeling great.
Every time?
Every time?
That's crazy. We don't have many to compare it to, so.
There is one.
For right now, it seems like every time because this is only the second time.
Yeah, and this is the first one in regulation and not overtime.
True.
Wings win this one 14-9 against the New England Black Wolves. Just an overall fantastic team performance from everybody. It was one just because everybody played together as a cohesive unit. Mm-hmm. Matt Rambo with his first hat trick of his career. Shout out to the chef. Justin Gutterding in his first game of his career. 3 assists, all 3 on Matt Rambo's goals. Looks like Matt Rambo has a new sous chef. Kevin Crowley, 4 goals against his former team. Just absolutely dominated. Blaze Reardon, 1 goal, 4 assists. He wasn't. Jordan Hall was your points leader for the night with 6 points for the Wings, 1 goal, 5 assists. Kyle Matisse, the captain, with 4 assists as well. And then the Jackrabbit, Josh Currier, with 2 goals late in the game to kind of seal this one away. And the Wings hold a team under 10 goals. They held them to 10 goals.
Yeah.
They didn't allow a team to finally, you know, they kept them at bay. Doug Buchan looked good tonight. Compared to last week,
yeah,
where he had a 70% save percentage. Tonight, he only lets up to 10 on 52 shots. And we made New England pull their goalie. That's the first time, I believe, all season that a team has changed goalies mid-game. So, hats off.
Overall, I think this was the most complete game that we've seen from the Wings this entire season. And I think that collectively the entire team should be proud of that, because what we've been noticing in prior weeks is that they come out strong and then coming out of the half they kind of falter and they, you know, they're a little tired and they're not able to maintain that lead or keep fighting to the end of the game. That was not the case tonight. They came in the fourth and wanted to close things out, and they just kept pushing and pushing to wrap this one up and secure a lead at the end of this one. So it was almost a little bit more enjoyable knowing that, you know, they were constantly scoring in the fourth. They weren't falling back on, you know, a 1 or 2 goal lead, because in lacrosse, you never should feel comfortable because a game can change in a matter of seconds. So all around, a really great game. Very exciting. The Wells Fargo was rocking tonight. So, hats off to the Wings.
Yeah, and they were able to overcome a New England team that allowed their big guys to put up points. Tyler Digby, 1 goal, 4 assists. Steven LeBlanc, 3 goals, 4 assists. and Callum Crawford with one goal and five assists. Those are their big three, and they were able to contribute, but the Wings, outside of that, shut down everybody else. And they came out of this game with a win. Steph Charbonneau with another goal from the defense. He's the best defender on this team.
Absolutely.
Overall. He's able to play offense. He's able to play defense. Got his first post-game press conference in of the season tonight. And what did you take away from the vibe of the post-game, just from coach, from the four guys that were in there? It seemed like a total 180 from what we've seen even after the one win and just overall.
Yeah, the atmosphere was definitely different from what we saw last week, because that followed one of the most disappointing wins of the losses of the season, I believe. So being able to go in there and hear coach, he was expressing that, you know, they came out and they played a full game, and he was proud of how they bounced back from the previous week. And even when it came down to players, both coaches and players realized that it was great that they won today, but they have a very short turnaround time for tomorrow's game. So while it was great that they got the win today, it's time to start preparing for another game against the same team in less than 24 hours. So I like their mindset moving into tomorrow afternoon, and who knows, maybe we'll sweep this weekend.
That would be phenomenal, because then they'd be a game and a half out of a playoff spot.
Which almost seems too good to be true, mm-hmm. but I don't know. If they come out and they play the way that they did, and if we can see a performance from Buchan's first half of this game in tomorrow.
Even three quarters.
Yeah, he really did play a solid game tonight. If we're able to see that tomorrow, there's no reason for them to lose. And, mm-hmm. I mean, they capitalized on the power play as well, which we always – you know, comment on their struggles. They had two power play goals.
On eight power play chances.
It's still better than none.
Right.
And I'm taking that as progression.
Yeah, you take every little bit you can. New England, two goals on four power play attempts, and the Wings with two goals on eight power play attempts. But that just showed that they were kind of staying composed as well. Like Matt Rambo said, they weren't retaliating when things got chippy, and they were on the power play more often than New England was. And I think that led to a lot of success too. Even though they didn't convert a ton, I think that was a huge factor in the game, that there were so many power play opportunities for them to kind of capitalize, and they nailed two of them. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a huge takeaway from this one. They outshoot New England 57-52, and they win the loose ball battle 71-67. And every time they win the face-off battle, Trevor wins 17 out of 20, six face-offs, Dylan Evans lost one, and Von Harris lost one, but still a solid performance on the face-off, and whenever you can win those, that sets the momentum, and they were able to do that again tonight.
Every time?
Every single time. Alex, you were down by the glass. Your takeaways for your actual podcast debut.
So being up next to the glass is actually really exciting, because you can channel everyone's energy. You can feel what the fans are feeling, if they're happy, if they're sad. I always sit kind of in section 114-15. There's a nice little family that I believe has season tickets, so I see them every time. And the dad is really, really, really into lacrosse, and it's kind of cool to see all the fans that really followed this team from the very beginning. Tonight, the energy was a lot different. Everyone kind of seemed excited to be here. And not to say that they're not, they haven't been in the past, but tonight, everyone felt like they were hungry for that win together as one organization, one fan base. And it was honestly really exciting. There was a lot happening right in front of me. There was a lot of physicality, a lot of banging up against the glass in front of me.
Yeah, it was a very physical game.
A lot of protection I needed on my camera tonight. I was definitely scared. Shout out to Blaze, who did not hit my camera this time.
Go Blaze! Woo-hoo.
He kind of laughed at me a little bit because I pulled my camera away. I was genuinely scared for my child. But I can say that being down there is really exciting to feel what everyone else is feeling. And the mood in the Wells Fargo Center tonight was different than it had been previously.
Yeah, and the place was packed yet again. 10,614 your official attendance tonight. And the fans just keep coming out, whether it's you know, a team like Colorado last week, who they only play once, or this budding rivalry that we saw tonight. And Matt Rambo kind of hinted at that as well. He seems like he wants this to be a friggin' rivalry.
Yeah, well, I mean, East Coast teams always, when they're in the same division, there's always going to be some sort of tension. So, and I mean, Philly and New England, like, come on.
And even beyond that, I think just in this league alone, you look at New England, they stole the Wings from this city initially.
Literally.
Literally got up and left.
Literally.
And then we stole Kevin Crowley back from them.
They can't have him back.
We got Anthony Joakim from them in the expansion draft. Matt Rambo came over here. He was on their practice squad last year. So there's a lot of, you know, former Black Wolves on this team that used to be the Wings, and even practice squad goalie Chris Collins, who was on the podcast earlier this week to kind of preview this thing. And then there's a guy on New England, Brett Manny, who's from Philly, used to play for the Wings and then traveled with New England when they moved. So there's a lot of connections between these two teams that it's just going to fester into a rivalry that I think this league needs.
Absolutely. I mean, rivalries, regardless of what sport, intensifies the game by 100%. It could be a preseason game, it could be a regular season game, it could be a playoff game. The atmosphere is so different and you love it, and it's so, like, it hypes you up in ways that you can't express. And if you're a fan of any sport, you'll appreciate that. So I'm here for a very solid lacrosse rivalry in Philly.
And I think just overall the league needs it, because you don't really see too many rivalries. You have Rochester and Buffalo right now, but Rochester's going to be gone at the end of this year. And then you have, you know, the West Coast teams kind of a little bit here and there, but it's, I don't think it's anything compared to what we saw tonight. Like, if you follow us on Twitter at OTB Laxpod, you know any fight that happens in this league,
ding, ding.
You get the Apollo Creed ding ding gif with the hashtag of the night. And we had to send out three of those, and the third one is a rivalry, because that's what it is.
Yep.
Matt Rambo was trying to avoid saying it, but I know deep down he was like, this thing's a rivalry, and I'm ready to go to war tomorrow and kick these guys in the teeth.
I'm very curious to see how this game and the emotions kind of carry over into tomorrow, because it's clear that New England has unfinished business with the loss, and the Wings are going to want to come out strong and win, so they could be a game and a half back from a playoff spot. So tensions are going to be high, and I think it's going to be, normally turnaround games, you might see slower starts. There's no room for error in a game like this tomorrow. So I'm very excited to see how the Wings come out for tomorrow's game. I'm very excited.
And it's going to be different. Paul Day's talked about it pretty much since the conference call this week, and even a little bit last week after the game, where tonight was kind of the speed lineup because of the size of the floor at the Wells Fargo Center. Tomorrow at Mohegan Sun Arena, it's going to be a more, you know, defensive, physical, kind of low-scoring type of lineup that he's going to throw out there, and I'm intrigued to see what he does with that, because we haven't seen that at
all.
Also
true.
And I think the only other quote-unquote small floor they've played on is Rochester that second week of the season, which, you know, hopefully that doesn't bring any, you know, bad vibes, because that arguably was their worst game of the year as a team. But I think this win tonight is going to propel some momentum into them and kind of keep them pumped up. And I think Matt Rambo's giving a speech in that locker room right now, like Rocky would or something like that, because he just seemed fired. Like, in all the press conferences he's been in this year after games, he barely talked.
Yeah, tonight, he was very excited following a game. And as members of the media, that's always exciting to see the players that you're working alongside with and interviewing, to have such a good reflection on a game.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, that makes our job easier, because discussing athletes who do have successful games, who do enjoy the sport that they're playing, I mean, obviously they all love it, but it's much more enjoyable to discuss, and it's clear that he was just in a great mood at that press, and he was laughing and joking around. And I mean, I think a huge weight was lifted off of his shoulders once he did hit his first, you know, hat trick mm-hmm. of his career, which is a huge accomplishment.
Shout out to the chef.
Shout out, Chefy. I don't know where that came from.
I tried to hold that in. I'm sorry.
I've been here since 8:30 a.m., everybody.
Brooke lives fine. Here. If you guys
I
don't
live
know
at
that.
Wells Fargo Center.
Chefy.
Chefy.
But yeah.
Anyways, and congrats, Rambo.
They just seemed like light on their feet. No pun intended. Come for the content, stay for the dad jokes. That's outside the box. But
good
like,
night, everybody.
They just seemed like a whole burden was lifted off their shoulders again because, you know, they had the one win already this year, but it was in overtime. This is their first regulation win as a quote-unquote franchise, as a team.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
It really is.
And I think when they beat Rochester a few weeks ago in overtime, I think they kind of were a little full of themselves, and that's why they kind of came out flat against Colorado last week. They were like, oh, we won, we're invincible, kind of, we can do this again, like, no problem. And then Colorado came back and punched him in the mouth, and you saw the
that was brutal.
You saw the just mannerisms from Blaze and the tone in his voice, and if it wasn't for Trevor not knowing Ryan Wagner's name, it wouldn't have been as funny and as kind of, you know, light-mooded as that press conference was. But tonight you saw all four guys, because we had a four-player press conference after with Doug Buchan, Justin Gutterding, who had a hell of a debut, too. And I think he's just very excited to be here. We talked to him before after practice today, and he told us, you know, the only team I wanted to play for was the Wings. He works in New York as his other job, so I think that played a huge part in it. But I think he's just happy to be here, and for him to come out and perform the way he did tonight, getting three assists in his debut, had some scoring opportunities. I think he's going to be a nice little piece to this team. And it just adds to kind of that speed element that Paul Day has kind of turned this team into now that Chris Cloutier is gone and Kevin Crowley, Kyle Matisse are kind of your backbones of this team. And you got guys like Josh Currier, who three games now, 8 goals. I think we can safely say Josh Currier is a building block of this franchise going forward.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I know that we were talking about this in previous weeks. You can't just rely on one or two players to get a win. It doesn't work that way. But being able to see Currier step up and names are slipping away from my brain right now.
That's the best part about this being recorded. I can just go out and edit it.
Oh, wonderful. Great team effort. It's just great seeing other players being able to step up when you do see the captain, Matisse, wasn't really on the scoreboard. Yeah, he grabbed a couple of assists, but he did not score a goal, and we did have other players stepping up and taking on that role of a more offensively forward or a transitional kind of player. So
that's what we've talked about too in recent weeks. Like, it can't always be the Kevin Crowley, Kyle Matisse show. We need guys to step up. Blaze Reardon just continues to do Blaze Reardon things. Josh Currier has stepped up 3 weeks in a row now. And then you had guys like we said, Justin Gutterding mm-hmm. with 3 assists, Matt Rambo with 3 goals tonight, which is the most he's ever had in a game. And then you had Jordan Hall with 6 points tonight. That's something that you need consistently from a guy like Jordan, who, you know, he's a former first overall pick in 2007. He's one of the most underrated, really, really good players in this league. And that's weird to say. And mm-hmm. Brett Manning even said that on the podcast this week, too. But I think you need more offensive production from Jordan Hall if this team wants to make the playoffs.
And in the past few weeks, I know that we've discussed this a few times, but he's kind of gone under the radar in a negative way, just for saying that he's kind of, you know, hasn't contributed anything helpful for this team. So being able to see him come out with a 6-point night, that's huge. And I think that that's definitely going to carry over not only in tomorrow's game, but for the rest of the season, because he's an impact player. And even though he's not, he got the 1 goal of the night, but 5 assists. He gets the offense rolling. Mm-hmm. And some of his passes, like, you sit back and you just watch the amazement and how he indicates what is going to happen before it actually does. So that's a huge, huge factor into this team and propelling them forward offensively in any game. So for the team to be successful moving forward, he has to keep this up for sure.
And I think we need to just continue to see the offensive production from Steph Charbonneau. His one goal a game that he's kind of averaging plays a big factor. He's the most consistent defenseman on this team, I'd say.
Without a doubt. Him
and Dylan Evans kind of anchor that defense, and they're just able to go out there and perform. And, you know, when you have new guys on the team as well, like Eric Schuhl, who wasn't here to start the year, he came in midseason. You got Ryan Wagner in his second game with the Wings. There's still a little bit of growing pains, but they were able to pull out a win, a convincing win, and I think that's huge going into tomorrow's matinee game. A quick turnaround, like we said, a 3 o'clock start after a night game is going to be brutal, but Matt Rambo said it too, because he was the most vocal in that press conference. Mm-hmm. You got to suck it up and kind of just go out there, stay light on your feet tomorrow, and go out there and try to get a two-win weekend.
And we discussed this last week too. I brought up the question that is this weekend the defining weekend for this team for their season, and I said if they were to come out and lose both games, it's kind of, all right, like, we're looking forward to what we can do for this team for next season. But now, following the first game of this weekend with a win, the mentality kind of shifts in this franchise, because it's, okay, we win tomorrow, we're a game and a half out of a playoff spot. That changes the entire mentality of a team. And they're going to want to fight for that. So it's very possible. You never know what to expect. And you got two optimists on this podcast right now who want to root for the team, even if they're not deemed as, you know, the stereotypical successful sport team. We want to see them. They're an expansion team, mm-hmm. of course. So we expected them to have their struggles early on in the season. And while they're still trying to figure out a few things here or there, things are starting to solidify within this roster. And certain people are taking leadership roles, and others are really just everything is coming together.
Yeah, it's like fitting into place. It's
right,
like the
right. Yeah, the puzzles.
You're starting to see what the picture is.
It's going. It's a little blurry, but we're almost there.
And the nice thing is, one, you beat New England, who you're chasing in the standings, mm-hmm. and Rochester had a bye week this week. So you gain a half game on them because they were, you know, on the bye, and then you gain a full game on New England. You're sitting 2.5 games back of a playoff spot right now. You're sitting a half game behind Rochester to kind of leapfrog them, and you have New England tomorrow. So you can jump Rochester in the standings and be a game and a half out of the playoffs.
That's
by
huge.
6 o'clock tomorrow.
Huge.
Buffalo ends up winning tonight, so that kind of stinks in a sense, even though they are much further ahead of the Wings than we would like. But, you know, if they would have lost.
Buffalo has just had a fantastic season.
They're unreal.
So.
But the standings right now, there's a couple games going on still as we're recording this, but Toronto won last night. They're 7-1. Buffalo wins tonight. They're 8-2, so they're in a virtual tie. Record-wise for first place in the East, but Toronto has the win percentage over them. Georgia's currently playing, but they sit at 7-3. New England's now 4-4. Rochester 2-6 is their dormant on the bye, and then the Wings 2-7. And then in the West, Calgary loses to Buffalo, so they're 5-5. San Diego's 4-4. They're in a virtual tie win percentage and win-loss-wise for first place in the West. Saskatchewan is 3-4. They're currently getting ready to play or already in play tonight. Vancouver 3-6, Colorado 2-5. So another week when we ask, why can't we be in the West?
Jeez, I feel that way with a lot of teams right now. The Flyers were in the West, they'd be in the playoffs.
Thank God the Sixers aren't in the West.
That is very true. We don't need to see Sixers Warriors until
The finals.
Sixers and six. What?
You know it. That's the hashtag. Uncle Zo, shout out. But yeah, the Wings are sitting a half game back of fifth place right now, and that's the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you go out and win tomorrow, you're in fifth place. You're out of the basement for the first time. Mm-hmm. in quote-unquote franchise history. So get out of the that's the goal tomorrow. Get out of the basement of the division, sweep the weekend, get a nice two-week bye, because after this they don't play again until March 8th, right back here at Wells Fargo Center against Buffalo. And then you gear up for this second half of the season and try to rattle off as many wins as you can to get a playoff berth.
And it's great that they are looking at the bigger picture, but they're also still taking things, in a sense, game by game. And they need to have the small accomplishments in order to get this huge, in order to achieve their biggest goal, which is to make the playoffs for this season. So I like the mentality of this team moving forward, that they celebrated the win, but they have the quick turnaround. So they're ready to move forward, and they're going to run on the high of finally getting their first win in regulation of the season. And they're going to, I think they're going to win in, where are they playing? Mohegan Sun, correct?
Yeah, Connecticut.
Mohegan Sun.
New England, Connecticut, whatever you want to call it.
The same thing.
Shout out to the Black Wolves, though, for hooking us up, getting Brett Manny on the show this week to kind of preview the weekend and supporting us and all that good stuff. They're one of the best franchises in the league. So shout out to them for showing us love this week. You guys rock, and it was fun meeting you guys tonight, too. But let's wrap things up with our stars of the game, as we always do, because we got to give out the media stars of the game tonight, too. Shout out to Dana.
That was so much fun.
Now Dana needs to retweet this podcast.
I think she does. Dana.
Dana.
Oh, Alex. Dana. She lives.
I didn't want to, like, interject. You guys were having a really good conversation. And I was like, wow, this is informative. I didn't want to, like, put anything dumb in there and be like, lacrosse.
I need an audio cap of her just going, lacrosse.
So our stars of the game, the three stars that got shown up on the big screen tonight.
Kyle and I picked them.
That we did.
Yay.
Third star of the game goes to Wings goalie Doug Buchan. Just his best performance of the season, rightfully deserved. 42 saves on 52 shots on goal. Star number two, Steven LeBlanc from the New England Black Wolves. 3 goals, 4 assists. Also picked up 7 loose balls. He was the player of their team tonight. And then star number one, the big cat, Kevin Crowley, 4 goals against his former team. Paul Day said it in the press conference. I think he's had this game circled on his calendar for quite some time now. And
this was a big one for him.
He came out and performed like we expect. And that's what Kevin Crowley does for this team. And that's why, he's the superstar, quote unquote.
That's why we picked him up. I'm happy he's ours.
Exactly.
Leave it
Thanks,
at that.
New England. Thank you. Next.
Oh, my God.
And that's literally what it is, because we have a game tomorrow, and we'll have a post-game show from the studio with myself and Herm.
Herm, the intern.
Alex
I'm in
and Brooke.
I'm in a singy mood today.
Alex and Brooke will be in Allentown tomorrow covering the Phantoms. Make sure you're following them on the Twitter.com.
Hockey.
And, yeah. I think that's going to do it for this edition of Outside the Box, episode number 20.
Woo!
Nice little even number. Look Get a that. Win on the even number. And this will do it for another Wings post-game show. So for Alex, for Brooke, and everybody here at Underground Sports Philadelphia, I'm Kyle, and we are signing off. Peace.
AB 1 2 apples, oranges. Blech. You want to die.